This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neal Conan. We're continuing our coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina today. In a few minutes, we'll hear the latest news on the ground and from around the country. In New Orleans, recovery crews have begun the grim task of bringing out the dead, while some of the living still refuse to leave. And in cities from Houston to Washington, D.C., shelters continue to swell with the tide of evacuees. Today, we want to hear from Gulf Coast residents displaced by the storm and those taking them in. Give us a call with your story at 800-989-8255. President Bush is on his second tour of the storm-devastated region today, making stops in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Poplarville, Mississippi. Before leaving Washington this morning, the president attended to another issue of national importance. He announced the nomination of John Roberts to the post of Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Roberts was supposed to begin hearings for the post of Associate Justice tomorrow, but today the Senate announced it will postpone those hearings to sometime later this week or early next week. We start out today with a look at how Roberts' promotion before even getting the job may change the balance of the court, and how both sides of the political aisle, which spent much of the summer fixing their positions on Roberts as an associate justice, are adapting to the news. What are your questions about Roberts' new nomination? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. We're joined now from the Time Warner Center in New York City by New Yorker writer and CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toob. And welcome to the show, Jeffrey.
Hi, Lynn.
So how much of a surprise was this announcement this morning?
I wouldn't say it's a big surprise. John Roberts has, over the past several months, as the nation's gotten to know him, has emerged as a serious conservative, not a moderate, and someone who is extremely likely to be confirmed. Those two qualifications serve him well as Chief Justice nominee, as well as an Associate Justice nominee, and President Bush, you know, made the change.
Now, the hearing on the nomination of Judge Roberts, the hearing is postponed. Is that out of respect for the late Chief Justice, or do the senators really have to rethink their questioning now?
I think it's a combination of things. It has to do with the funeral for the Chief Justice being on Wednesday, which was the day on which John Roberts was scheduled to get the bulk of his questioning, and I think the juxtaposition would have been kind of inappropriate. Also, you have the hurricane dominating the news. But the Republicans in the Senate and the president want to get this nomination through fast. They want him on the bench by the first Monday in October. So I don't think, certainly the Republicans who are running the show, think that the inquiry called for a Chief Justice nominee is all that different from an Associate Justice nominee process.
Well, is the inquiry going to be different? And I mean, how will it be different?
I think the senators will ask him some more questions, but the responsibilities of the Chief Justice don't lend themselves to very much different questioning than an Associate Justice would. You know, for example, the main power of a Chief Justice is to assign opinions when he's in the majority. He gets to pick which justice writes the opinion. That's not something that calls for a lot of questioning. It is true that the Chief Justice gets to select which lower court judges serve on certain special courts like the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which calls into question a nominee's attitude towards national security and issues of that kind, but it's such a level of abstraction that's not likely to call for much more questioning. Frankly, I don't think there is much difference between the kind of questioning that's called for. So it seems sensible that the hearings would proceed.
I'm just wondering symbolically how important it is. I mean, in the public's mind, it seems like a more important position, I think. And I'm wondering just in terms of both sides, both proponents and opponents, how important it is that he is now the nominee for Supreme Court Justice in a symbolic and, I guess, political sense.
Well, symbolically, it is different. You know, the title is, a lot of people make this mistake, and Lynn, I'm afraid you made the mistake too. The title is not Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The title, according to law, is Chief Justice of the United States.
Right.
And that is an example of the symbolism that goes with the job, and people have a certain reverence for that. But I think the country, frankly, is so preoccupied with the hurricane and everything else that whether the hearings start on Thursday or Monday or the following Monday isn't going to have a big political impact one way or another.
Well, will Katrina and its aftermath and the fact that the country's attention is so incredibly focused on that have some effect on the way these hearings proceed as well?
Well, I think that they have an effect on the result. I mean, I think John Roberts was headed for confirmation before the hurricane, but now he is definitely headed for confirmation because, it would take a real groundswell of public opposition to get 40 Democrats to mount a filibuster or 50-plus senators to vote against him. And that groundswell is clearly not there at this point, and with the hearings likely to get less attention while they're still searching for bodies in New Orleans, I just don't see any way, unless John Roberts decides to call for a repeal of the Bill of Rights in his confirmation hearings, that serious opposition to him can be mounted.
All right. We are talking about the nomination of John Roberts to Chief Justice of the United States. My guest is Jeffrey Toobin. He's a staff writer for The New Yorker and senior legal analyst at CNN. We have a caller from Chris. I believe he's calling from California. Chris?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you, Lynn. My question briefly is, what laws or what governs the president's actions in terms of being able to nominate someone directly to Chief Justice who wasn't previously sitting on the Supreme Court?
Well, the law is no different relating to how what the prior job of the nominee is. You know, there have been 16 chief justices, and about half of them have come from the court, and about half of them have come from other jobs. I mean, to think of the last three, you know, Chief Justice Rehnquist was promoted from an associate justice position. Warren Burger was on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the same court that John Roberts is on. Earl Warren was governor of California. So there is no absolute pattern with regard to what the prior job has to be. It's purely a political choice on the part of the president, and the nomination process is the same regardless of the previous position of the nominee.
Okay. Is there any historical precedence for the political wisdom of pulling someone not sitting on the court versus somebody sitting on the court in terms of how it plays out with the court members and how they interact?
Well, that's a subject that Supreme Court historians have written a lot about. You know, some people think the justices would resent an outsider coming in to be the first among equals. Others think that, you know, it messes with the equilibrium of the court to suddenly take one of the associates and make him or her chief. I think, based on my study, that a lot more depends on the individuals involved than any sort of pattern. You know, John Roberts has a real advantage going in, is that he's very much an insider, a former law clerk on the court. You know, worked in the Solicitor General's office, which is sometimes called the 10th Justice. Argued 39 times before the court. I have a piece in the current issue of The New Yorker about Justice Kennedy, and Justice Kennedy said to me that, you know, John Roberts was a marvelous oral advocate, and we feel like we know him. So I think, he will go into the court with a lot of goodwill on the part of the justices, and even though he is an outsider, he's kind of an insidery outsider.
All right, thanks very much for your call, Chris. Let's see if we can get in one more call here from Rob, and he's calling from Idaho. Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was wondering how somebody like Scalia would get along with somebody like Roberts. I could see Scalia throwing a hissy fit that he wasn't nominated.
You know, I doubt Justice Scalia really harbored any serious hopes of being nominated. Justice Scalia is 68 years old. This administration has made it very clear that they are interested in a long-term impact on the courts. And John Roberts at 50 is certainly in a position to influence the court longer than Scalia would be appointed at 68. You know, one of the hallmarks of Justice Scalia's career has been a willingness to alienate people and write dismissive, sarcastic opinions criticizing his colleagues. So I don't think his nose will be out of joint. He actually even made a joke to the Chief Justice's clerks who gathered for their reunion this year about how he was campaigning to be Chief Justice. I don't think he would have made that joke if he was seriously campaigning to be Chief Justice. I think he's happy where he is.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Rob.
Thank you.
Now, John Roberts was originally meant to replace Justice Sandra O'Connor. She has confirmed that she's going to stay on until her replacement is found?
That's right.
And what about replacing Sandra Day O'Connor? What do you think the president will be looking for in this next pick for the
Supreme
Court?
Well, Lynn, I think this is really remains the key choice on the court because, you know, the Roberts for Rehnquist change in the court probably won't affect the results of the court very much one way or another. Chief Justice Rehnquist, very conservative. Roberts likely to be conservative himself. O'Connor was a much more unpredictable vote, and I think this is where the change in the decisions could come about. The interesting question here is, will President Bush go back to the same short list he consulted just 5 weeks ago? Well, he probably will. I mean, nothing much has changed in 5 weeks. Or will he look for someone else? Given the president's apparently weakened political condition, will he go for a less provocative choice? Will he avoid judges like Michael Luttig and Priscilla Owen, who are perceived as being very conservative, and go towards Alberto Gonzalez or Harvey Wilkinson, who are considered to be somewhat more moderate? Will he be more likely to look for a woman or a Hispanic or a black justice? You know, I don't know for sure. My experience with President Bush is he always picks the more conservative choice, and he's not afraid of a fight.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeffrey.
Okay, Lynn.
Jeffrey Toobin is a staff writer for The New Yorker and a CNN legal analyst. When we come back from a short break, we'll look back on the week since Hurricane Katrina made landfall. You can send us an email at totn@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.